Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I welcome you to the program. If you have questions for the program, things you'd like me to address maybe on the show, there are two ways to do that. You can go to the Facebook page, Trust the Bible, sign up on there, read the articles that go with the program, leave comments and questions. You can also call 943-8237. If you have a question for the program, need prayer, would like information about our free counseling ministry here at Fairfax First Baptist Church, or about the church, the number again to call is 943-8237. Well, I told you that this week I would walk through some passages in the Old Testament and New Testament and show you how the Bible tells us which commands we are to follow and which commands are given to other groups of people. And therefore, we should never just pick and choose what we want to follow in the Bible based on our own prejudice, based on our own desires, based on what we think makes sense. We should follow everything that the Bible commands us to do. Now, I've told you that not everything commanded in the Bible is something commanded for us to do. God gives commands to specific people like Abraham. He gives commands to kings. He gives commands to prophets to bring messages to people. We don't do everything God commands. We recognize that some commands are given to specific people. Now, we can learn from everything commanded. We can apply it to our life, but it is not a direct command necessarily for us to follow. So let's look at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, and I'll give you an example of a command that's in the Old Testament that is for us, that is a command for Gentiles, for all nations, for all time. There's no time limit on this. There's no, you know, it's not to a specific person. It is a general command, and that happens right in Genesis chapter 2. Now, I'll briefly give you a command an example that is something that is not for us, that is for Adam, okay? So, chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, is that a command for us? No, because Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. I don't believe the Garden of Eden is still in existence, so I don't think it's possible. If we wanted to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we would not be able to locate it. You know, it doesn't exist. So that is an example of a command that was given to Adam and is not a command given to anyone else. I know this sounds, you know, kind of basic maybe. You know, of course we're not supposed to worry about that command. But this is what we see in our culture again and again, as people laugh at the idea of following some commands in the Bible but not following all. Oh, you Christians, why don't you worry about the command, you know, this command? Why don't you worry about the command to not eat shrimp? Well, for the same reason, I don't worry about the command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a command given to Adam. It's not a command given to me. But when the Bible does command something to me, I need to pay attention to it. That's what God says is the key to a successful life. And God is my creator, so I want to honor him. So when we get later to chapter 2, in chapter 2, we read in verse 23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Ah, now, this is not just talking about Adam. This is a general pronouncement about what happens when a man and a woman come together. A man leaves his father and mother, he's united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And Genesis chapter 2 gives us the whole background of how God designed someone that was a perfect complement to Adam, that a man and a woman go together and make this special relationship that is designed by God. Now, Jesus comments on this and tells us two different interesting things, I think, about this in Matthew chapter 19. And I believe in following how Jesus says to read and understand the Old Testament. He is the one who is behind the writing of it. It is to point to him and his glory. And so we want to pay attention to what Jesus says here. So some Pharisees came to Jesus and tested him. They said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And they're referring to a law in the Old Testament that talked about writing a certificate of divorce. They're talking about a law that Moses gave to the Israelites in Exodus that is supposed to help people manage or understand what happens when there is a divorce. And so the rabbis were debating, well, when is it okay to get a divorce? Is it for any and every reason? If not, then what are the reasons? And Jesus said, haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, and this is the part Jesus adds to this quote, he says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So God says there's a principle here that God brings man and woman together as one flesh. A certificate of divorce is not something that you just put out there to undo something that God has done. Man can't undo what God has done. And they're confused by this. They say, why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. All right, so there are two things I find interesting about this. One is Jesus says, let's go back to the beginning. The law of Moses comes later. The law of Moses was given to people whose hearts were hard. So if you want to know what the general command is for all people all time, go back in Genesis chapter 2 and look at how God establishes marriage. When you're studying other parts of the Old Testament, like the law of Moses, you're studying a law that was given in the context of governing over a sinful, rebellious people. And so, yes, there were commands or regulations about divorce, but that doesn't mean God ever approved divorce. It was more like, because you're going to have divorces, which I disapprove of, it's right there in Genesis chapter 2, here's what you do when there's a divorce. And God gave certain regulations, I believe, to protect the economic setting for the woman, to give certain protections for her so that she wasn't cut off from any means of survival or the ability to remarry. And so that was out of grace towards women, given the abusive nature of this culture, of this society. So Jesus points to go back to the beginning. Jesus says, here's where the true law is given. This other command later on in the law of Moses is because of hardness of heart. So at least some of the commands in the law of Moses that come later that are given to the Israelites are not there because they're the best laws for everyone to follow for all time, but are there because they help govern or manage in a particular culture a rebellious people with hardened hearts. That's what Jesus says. I think you see evidence of that within the Old Testament, within Moses himself, explaining, why these laws are in place because of this stubborn, rebellious people. So Jesus isn't saying anything new here, but I think it's important for us to pay attention to this fact. Jesus definitely taught marriage as between a man and a woman. I hear all the time still people say, well, Jesus never said anything about same-sex marriage, so, you know, we don't need to worry about the Old Testament. Jesus didn't say anything about it. It must be okay. Well, no, we've got to follow all of God's word. God's word lays out very clearly in the Old Testament that this is a law for all people for all time. We're going to see that again in Leviticus, where it specifically identifies it as a law for all people. Jesus reiterated it. He maybe didn't say anything about same-sex marriage, but he clearly says here in Matthew 19 that marriage is defined as between a man and a woman. I don't know how else he could put that to make that point. So that is a command for all people, all time. I'm going to get into a little bit today, and we'll finish up here tomorrow. Another one, Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 comes after the flood, and Noah and his sons' wives come out of the ark, and they are the only humans living on the earth at this time. The flood has wiped out the rest of humanity, and God establishes a covenant with Noah and his sons. And he's going to add, and your descendants after you. So when we read the covenant in Genesis chapter 9, I'm going to read it tomorrow, this is another example of a covenant that is in effect with us today. God doesn't say it's going to end at a certain point. He says, this is my covenant with you. And we'll get into the details of what that covenant is tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.